All embassies overseas to support American companies in their operations abroad and to, as far as possible, promote American exports.
They drill and they kill.
Drilling and killing. Chevron and Nigeria's oil dictatorship.
An investigative report next week on Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!
After 35 years of one of the bloodiest civil wars in Latin America, Colombians are slowly embarking on the long and difficult road to peace. There are many obstacles, including increasingly interventionist U.S. anti-drug policies. Join the Columbia Media Project and the weekly news update on the Americas for a special public forum entitled Peace in Colombia, a Human Rights Perspective, on Tuesday, October 6th at 7 p.m. at the Hunter College West Building, Room 217, which is located at 68th Street and Lexington Avenue, featuring special guest speaker Olga Gutierrez, who's the director of the Colombia Europe Coordinating Committee, a coalition of over 50 human rights organizations that will be awarded the prestigious Letelier Moffitt Human Rights Award in October. The Peace in Colombia Forum will take place on Tuesday, October 6th, at Hunter College West Building, beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, call the Columbia Media Project at 212-802-7209. That's 212-802-7209.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI. It's 8 o'clock, time for Off the Hook.
The telephone is ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself off shaving, now I can't make a call. Couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. So did it bomb for the best.
Okay, see, this is what happens when you don't send us money. The equipment breaks, and things aren't as smooth as they're supposed to be. Let's see if maybe it fixes. Ah, there we go. Nice, smooth transition there. We all know technology never fails. It's always a human error of some sort. Three CD players break in a row. I don't understand that. Anyway, the program is Off the Hook. It's Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for another hour on this Tuesday night, broadcasting at 99.5 FM in New York City and over the internet. www.2600.com. Click on the appropriate boxes to find the exact point where you can listen to the show. But of course, if you're listening to the show, you don't need to know that. And the webcasts are mostly for people outside the area, people around the world. But I do suggest going there now for a very specific reason. First of all, We have a very interesting kind of funny section on the website right now. Concerns the White House and hacked websites and things like that. Now, I'm not saying the White House's website got hacked. Let's straighten that out right now. Stop the rumors before they start. Nothing happened to the White House today. All right, so now that we got that cleared up, let's zip on over to the Kevin Mitnick section, which you can get to by clicking on the Free Kevin bumper sticker, which is on the 2600 site, or going directly to it, www.kevinmitnick.com. Kevin Mitnick, one word, KevinMitnick. And you will see, and for those of you who don't have web access, you will now hear some of the startling facts when it comes to comparing this case with the real world. Remember the real world? Well, that's how most people live their lives. And if you're somebody who lives your life by committing assault, you can expect to serve 3 years, 1.9 months in prison. That's right. Auto theft, 1 year, 9.9 months. Larceny, 1 year, 2.4 months. Fraud, 1 year, 6.9 months. Embezzlement, well, you can get away with 7 months for that. If your thing is forgery and counterfeiting, expect to be out of service for 1 year, 3.9 months. Now, money laundering is considered rather severe. 3 years, 5.1 months. Burglary or breaking and entering, that's 2 years, 4.8 months. And the granddaddy of them all, manslaughter. Manslaughter, you go out there and kill a man and expect to serve 2 years, 10.2 months. Why is this important? Well, Kevin Mitnick has been in prison now for 43 months, 3 years and 7 months. So to put things in perspective, it's really unbelievable that people can say with a straight face, yeah, this guy belongs in prison. But, you know, there's fewer and fewer of them every day. And one day, the majority will be listened to. So continue to check on that site and spread the word, because this is heating up, and it's not going to go away. Checking some other news that has been taking place in the past week or so. A German district court has ordered a bank in Frankfurt to repay a customer 4,543 marks, which is about $2,699 US, for money withdrawn from her bank account after her bank card was stolen. In this country, you're only liable for, I think, $50, and that's if you don't report it. Actually, that's for credit cards. I'm not entirely certain about ATMs, about regular bank cards. The decision made public Monday again points to the holes in the 56-bit encryption technology used in Eurocheck cards, called EC cards, according to the Chaos Computer Club, a German hacker group. Calling the encryption technology for the EC bank cards out of date and not safe enough, a Frankfurt district court held the bank responsible for the amount stolen from the 72-year-old plaintiff in February 1997. Neither the bank's name nor that of the plaintiff were revealed. An EC card is like a bank card, which can be used at bank automats and point-of-sale terminals throughout Europe. The cards feature the U.S. government's data encryption standard, which uses 56-bit encrypted code to scramble the security information. And we have this piece of listener mail. Emmanuel, you! Numeric paging is now enabled in Sprint PCS. You can enable it by dialing into your mailbox. Use 3 for personal options, 1 for notification options, and turn numeric paging on. That's in your voicemail box, you have to turn that on. I'm not sure if it's defaulted to be on or off. I know for some people it just works in the beginning. Other people have to physically go in and turn it on. When it's turned on, your caller can either leave you a voice message or can press 2 to page you, that is, send a numeric message to the handset. If their caller ID is not blocked, the system will offer to send their phone number to your handset. If blocked, they'll be asked to type in a number. And you receive it the same way you receive a text message. The cost is nothing for any user who has voicemail. I spoke with Sprint PCS concerning the cost for text messaging, and they said it's free now, but they may start charging later. Isn't that fun? Well, actually, that's from Bob in New York. That's not entirely new. We reported this a few weeks ago, but what we didn't do was actually test it out. So let's get ourselves a dial tone here, and we'll actually call a Sprint number that happens to be here in the studio and try to leave an numeric page. Okay, now you see the problem with Sprint phones is you can hit the end button and that will... Unknown ID, that's weird. It's not even blocked, it's just unknown. That means we really don't have caller ID here at the station. But when you hit the end button on these phones, it doesn't send it to voicemail, it just turns off the ringer, so it's going to ring a few times. And then once we get the greeting, which is right here...
All right, there's nobody here to take your call right now. Please leave a message and someone will get back to you soon.
We get some options now.
To leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone. To send a numeric page, press 2 now.
That's what we want.
Please enter your numeric page, then press pound.
Okay, I'm just going to hit 911.
To send this message, press 1. To review it, press 2. To change it, press 3.
Let's review it.
You entered 911. To send this message...
Yes, that's what I did. Okay, let's hit 1.
Your page has been sent. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
Bye. Okay, the page has been sent. Let's see how quickly Sprint actually sends us our page. And while we're... here we go. And I received a call from 911, whatever that means. And if I hit... Whoa! I hit talk and it started calling 911. No, I didn't. That's a great prank to pull on people, but please don't say we told you to do that. That's horrible. I didn't really know that was going to happen. Okay. Yes. Now, this announcement, this is an important announcement. This has to do with an upcoming demonstration of microbroadcasters in the area. On Sunday, October 4th, Monday, October 5th, all media activists are being called to participate in this, along with radio pirates, people for a democratic media, and people just fed up with crappy corporate radio. Come to D.C. for the first national mobilization for free radio. Microbroadcasters from around the country will gather for 2 days to share radio skills, organize alliances, speak out to the media, and protest at the FCC and NAB buildings, culminating in a live broadcast straight into the offices of the people working so hard to shut us down. And yes, it's Sunday and Monday. See, they thought it through here, because if they did it on Saturday and Sunday, they'd be broadcasting into empty offices. But Monday, people will be there. I don't think it's a holiday, Monday, October 5th, is it? Hope not. Free Radio Berkeley, Radio Mutiny, Steelless Radio, other micro stations have all broadcasted live in public and challenged the FCC to shut them down in the light of day in front of the press, and the feds have never dared to show their face. This time, we're going to take it right to their doorstep and tell them that if they're so sure that their dumb law is worth enforcing, then the chairman should come down from the 8th floor and put the cuffs on us himself. There will also be workshops to help new folks start stations, appointments will be made to lobby Congress people, and press events will be held to show the true diverse face of the microbroadcasting movement. All right, so you want information on this? Okay. They're asking for a $5 to $15 donation for participants to help the whole thing work out. And their website can be found at HTTP, whatever, all that stuff, burn.ucsd.edu/mai/microwatt.html. I'll say that again because that's kind of a difficult one to remember. No www here. Don't put that in. Just burn.ucsd.edu/ it's that little squiggly thing, mai/microwatt.html. Or if you just want to send email, send email to Petri Dish. Actually, it's spelled kind of a weird way, too. P-E-T-E-T-R-I-D-I-S-H at hotmail.com. or you can phone 215-474-6459 or 202-518-5644. Ask for Amanda. And if you can't come but would like to make a donation to help the conference actually happen, you can send a check to Citizens Media Corp., 23 Winslow Road, Brookline, Massachusetts, 02446. It's going to be big. We have all kinds of interesting input into this one. People from all over the country will be showing up. So that's, again, Sunday, October 4th, Monday, October 5th in Washington, D.C. And check out the net for all kinds of information on that. It's really a shame what's happened to microbroadcasting. In fact, on my OmniPoint phone today, I just happened to get news updates that you get, and there was actually a story about microbroadcasting. I'm looking it up right now. Here we go. Federal regulators have shut down about 260 pirate radio stations this year in effort against pirate radio operators. Most closed voluntarily. It's kind of weird they would just send this story over. I think maybe that means there's a big story about it in the New York Times today or something like that. I don't know, because it's not really something that happened today, but it's just a story that I got on my OmniPoint phone, that all these radio stations were shut down. And the thing is, yeah, most of them are shutting down voluntarily. That's kind of sad. I mean, yeah, we all say we should stand up to oppression and, you know, dare them to come get us. Well, the thing is, they are coming to get us, and that's why they're shutting down voluntarily. And the only time they'll stop doing that is when people show up to things like this or show support in other ways. We need diversity on the airwaves. We need different voices. And I get these magazines. Radio News is probably one of the best magazines out there, newspapers or whatever it is. Comes out every week, tells you all kinds of things about the radio industry. Of course, they're decidedly anti-micro-broadcasting, but, you know, you can put up with that to get some of the facts that they do present. One of them is that Chancellor Radio is like the biggest one now. They keep merging. They're like a virus that keeps spreading all over the place. They're on the verge of owning... keep in mind, a few years ago, it was against the law for one organization to own any more than 5 radio stations. That's why CBS just owns stations in New York, in California, Chicago, various places like that. Yeah, they had affiliates all over the place, but they actually only owned 5 stations. Pacifica, another example of that. We only own 5 stations. BAI is one of them. Stations in Berkeley, Los Angeles, Houston, and Washington, D.C. 5 stations. And in fact, we stayed at that limit. But thanks to the Reagan-Bush years and deregulation at the FCC, that limit was just wiped away. So there's no longer a limit of 5 stations. Chancellor Radio has been very busy since then, and right now they are on the verge of owning 500 radio stations. 500 stations. Think about that. Think about how it's incredible, you know, one voice, only one voice being heard, no diversity whatsoever. And yeah, they're making a ton of money at it too. But the biggest threat to all this are these little 20-watt radio stations that are popping up all over the place, providing some diversity. That's what they're shutting down. Not mega corporations that own 500 stations, probably each one 50,000 watts. Here's a letter from a listener. We thought it was bad before. It's not enough that a megacorp owns every radio station in a given area. They are now taking steps to make content the same also. What I refer to is what is known as shadow broadcasting. I don't know the exact name of it, but that's certainly a good description of it. It's the practice of using an outside agency to do things like news, sports, traffic, instead of in-house reporters. The way it used to work is that every radio station had reporters on the staff, sort of like what we do here at BAI. They go out to cover stories that are happening in their local areas. I guess that was too expensive to actually keep these reporters, so commercial stations have started hiring outside agencies to cover these stories. The scary part is that there is essentially only one agency, because only one agency offers these services, kind of a default monopoly. And that means no matter what radio station you're listening to, you're getting the standard version of the news. No more do radio stations control the editorial bias of the news they cover. Now it comes prepackaged right from the outside source as a nice little cassette tape or whatever they use. It's a really scary thought to me to think And all across the country, there is one agency that controls the news that we get over the radio. Think of the impact we could have on, this could have, rather, on cases such as Mitnick's. There will be no reporters who know the truth, ready to spread the word, because there are no reporters left. Maybe the funniest part, or the saddest part, is that the person who reads the news uses different names depending on the station. This I've never heard. I'd like to know if other people have heard this. So Bill on one station is really John on another. They said that they do this so that the listeners feel that the local news is really being reported by a local reporter instead of a team of researchers. Sounds to me like planned ignorance. There was a story about this, actually, on National Public Radio. This person named Lizard, who sent us mail. Thank you very much, Lizard, for sending that to us, because I didn't know about this. Word is spreading about this kind of thing. The thing is, no one's doing anything about it. You know, as soon as somebody actually stands up and tries to be counted, they're kicked back down again and told to submit and listen to the corporate radio station of their choice. Yeah, right. All right, so that's the state of radio today. It's very depressing. But by supporting stations like BAI, you can help make a difference. And supporting other stations as well, because there's a lot of room out there, despite what they may tell you. They say the spectrum's all filled up with, light rock and AOR music and all that kind of thing. It's all the same, you know? Just repetition. And it extends, you know, it extends into the music industry. I mean, do you really think that you decide what song is going to be a hit? Of course not. It's decided by some marketing agency that says, this will go good. And then they send it out to those stations that are controlled by the same people. And basically, you don't hear a lot of things that are produced, because it's just not deemed worthy by those same people. All right, we'll be taking phone calls in a little while. Last week was New Listener Week. We only took phone calls from new listeners. And, you know, I got a lot of compliments for that. I really did. A lot of people said, you know, it's good to hear new voices. Nothing against the old voices. You know, I have nothing against the old voices either. But it's good to let other people in. Now, this week anybody can call. And we didn't do that for any one particular reason, one particular person. But it's just, if you listen to the station, you tend to hear the same callers a lot. And it's not because we don't have any listeners, it's because they call a lot, you know, and a lot of times they have things to say, but we have a set amount of time, and it's important to let as many people in as possible. So if you really have something interesting and you've called us 100 times before, okay, call up. But the pressure will be on you to really produce something good that the people will really, you know, be fascinated by. And otherwise, if you're a new person, please give us a call as well, because we'd really like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from people all over the world who are listening to the show. The number is 212-209-2900. And read a couple more pieces, and we'll go right into the phone calls. Now, this is something. This is a pet peeve of mine. It's a pet peeve of a lot of people, so I guess it's not really a pet. It's more like a pretty common peeve. Have you been spammed? This is a mail I just got. Have you been spammed and do not like it? Do you get unsolicited email that you do not want? Do you get so much junk email that you waste time just to get rid of it? Well, if you answered yes to any of these questions, then here is your chance to stop getting all that email you never wanted. Do you know the secrets to lowering and to practically eliminating junk email? We know that, actually. You don't know that yet. We have been doing this to help millions of other people just like you. We have never had any complaints. And many people can't thank us enough. If you want to be part of this and stop this junk email, we can do it for you. This is junk email I just got in the mail. These scumbags, they're sending me it's titled anti-spammers. They're spamming with anti-spam, saying that we can stop it. But they're sending mail you never asked for. And listen to this. They say they never got any complaints. I think maybe we can change that. Maybe we can help them out here. Since we have had so much success, we won't charge you $50. We have decided to lower the price dramatically to only $20. That's more than half off. Half off what? Just follow the steps below and you can stop getting all that junk email you never wanted. This is a funny one. This really is. I mean, this is the biggest scam I think I've ever seen, but it's funny. You gotta give people credit for that. So if you believe that that's worth $20 for a good laugh, although I think actually these people should be reported in some way. All you have to do is mail us a self-addressed envelope, $20, and your email address to keep you updated on your status. This comes from Michael Daly. his email address, or their email address, or its email address, or whatever this thing is, anti_spam98, anti_spam98@yahoo.com, and their address, anti-spammers, P.O. Box 1601, Wallingford, Connecticut, 06492. See how many complaints they get now. Okay, that's only the beginning of it, though. That's only the beginning. I've been getting all kinds of mail from people that basically says, this message is not spam and is being sent to you in compliance with federal legislation. Pursuant to Section 301, this is how they start, paragraph A2C of S1618, further transmission to you by this sender of this email may be stopped by sending a reply with remove as the subject. Well, you don't ever reply to these people, you just ignore them, but it's becoming really annoying when they're quoting laws and saying that that they're totally in compliance here. It's not really the case at all. The law in question, I did a little research on this. And boy, did I have to hit the Senate website a lot of times. To get all that damn Lewinsky stuff, you know? You can't get through anymore. Everyone's downloading sex from the government now. And you can't find out about laws. So it took me about an hour to get this information. And this comes from Senator Murkowski. Yeah, Senator Murkowski. Very interesting. He says, when you click on his webpage for this particular bit of legislation, please note that I did not offer the language of Section 771, my original bill, as an amendment on May 12, 1998. The provision that was accepted as part of Section 1618 only requires junk emailers to identify themselves and to honor remove requests. There are no ISP requirements whatsoever. I have no desire to set a precedent of the government telling you what you can and cannot see in your inbox. My bill merely provides a means for Internet users to filter out emails that they do not wish to receive by requiring that senders of unsolicited emails to include advertisement as the first word of the subject line. And that was not the case in this piece of email that claims to be legal. The only word in the subject was money with two exclamation points. Really caught my attention. So yeah, that's part of the law here, to include advertisement as the first word of the subject line, and that the real street address, email address, and telephone number be contained within the body of the message. Routing information that accompanies the message must also be accurate. So this law that they are quoting, and I have the exact quote right here, the name, physical address, electronic mail address, and telephone number of the person who initiates transmission of the message. Now, this message, therefore, is not legal because it came from Steve Reed of Email Marketing 98, and his street address, his real physical address, is P.O. Box 3165. Now, I'm sure it's kind of cramped in that P.O. Box. I don't think he actually lives there. And it's in a place called Spring, Texas, 77383. Oh, what's the deal? Okay, of course everybody wants to know that. Stay home and make $2,225 per week working with your computer. Become a distributor of the newest marketing software on the web. This is not a MLM. This is not a MLM. I don't know what that means. And all funds are paid up front directly to you. To receive a free demo, respond with your email address to any one of our addresses listed below. Of course, there's only one address there, and it's not really an address. But there is a phone number, so we're going to give Steve a call, okay, because we have to warn him that he's not in compliance. It's very important. Oh, yes, you want the number, too. Area code 281-376-0052, extension 3020. Must be a big office. Oh yeah, I have to enter my secret code, which will remain secret.
Thank you for calling Across America voicemail. Please enter in your 4-digit box number now, or press 1 for customer service.
Well, gee, I don't think I'll ever get a person. Let's try it.
Goodbye.
What? Goodbye? That was rude. Now, let's try that one more time. I think she might have been just a little impatient there. Call the right number, 281-376-0052. I have to enter my secret code. And extension 3020.
The voicemail. Please enter in your four-digit box number now. Or press 1 for customer service.
That's the problem. It's not recognizing digits.
Goodbye.
Okay. It's the BAI phone system striking again. Let's try it one more time. There is a problem with our touch tones. So we might have to ask somebody. That's not going to work. You can't hold a Sprint phone up to this. It's not going to work. We might have to ask one of our listeners to do this for us. Because we really genuinely want to help this person and warn them that... It's weird how our touch tones work, no problem.
Thank you for calling Across
okay.
America voicemail. Please enter
She's not hearing that three.
Box number now, or press 1 for customer service.
Let's get customer service. There must be a human who can help us.
Goodbye.
Oh, that's just great. Customer service hangs up on you. All right, folks. Well, we can't help the guy. We want to. He's violating federal law here. And we hate to see that happen. He doesn't have advertisement in his subject. He doesn't have a real street address. He doesn't seem to have a real phone number either. You know, and that's... I don't want to say he doesn't have a real name. Because Steve Reed could be a really, you know, a real name there. So if you want to help out, please give the guy a call, 281-376-0052, extension 3020. Warn him that he is not in compliance, and the message is, in fact, spam. And they could be coming to get him in the middle of the night. You don't know about these things. Got to respect the federal authorities. Speaking of federal authorities, son of CDA, Communications Decency Act, is looming. I'm not sure what the exact status of it is right now. It keeps changing from day to day. But basically, it's a bill that makes it a crime for anyone, by means of the World Wide Web, to make any communication for commercial purposes that is harmful to minors. Unless the person has restricted access by minors by requiring a credit card number or other age verification... How is a credit card number age verification? Other age verification procedures specified by the Federal Communications Commission. Our old friends from the FCC are helping out here. You'd think those guys would be busy doing radio things. The latest version of the bill includes a section authorizing the Attorney General to seek court injunctions against suspected violators. Injunctions against speech are a form of prior restraint, constitutionally the worst form of government censorship. By offering a defense to any website that verifies the age of visitors, the bill in effect requires a new type of privacy intrusion. The bill has privacy protections intended to limit disclosure of such information, but the protections have a major loophole, allowing the disclosure of personal information for, quote, legitimate business activities related to, unquote, making such communications. If you want more information on this, go over to a website, www.cdt.org/speech. And as an interesting side note to that, they define the implementation of this, if I can find the appropriate, by means of the World Wide Web. Basically telling you that you can't distribute certain things by means of the World Wide Web. And they define by means of the World Wide Web as placement of material in a computer server-based file archive so that it is publicly accessible over the Internet using hypertext transfer protocol or any successor protocol. Well, guys, guess what? FTP does not fit that description. And basically that means you can FTP all you want without being covered by that law, by their own definition. It's silly. I'm sure it's something they'll fix, but it happens to be the way it is right now. All right, 212-209-2900 is our telephone number. The program is off the hook. We're here with you for another 30 minutes or so. Again, we'd like to encourage people who have never called before to pick up the phone and give us a call. And those of you who have called before, we have mail. We have 120 listeners on the Internet. All right. 212-209-2900 is our our telephone number. Again, if you've never called before, please do. If you have called before, make sure it's something really interesting, because we have a lot of people out there that have never spoken to us, and we do want to reach them. All right, let's go to our first, pick a number, 1 to 5. Hold your hand up. You better be right about this. All right, here we go. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, very good. Go ahead, you're on off the hook right now.
Hi, this is Bellman.
Bellman?
Yes.
Okay, where are you calling from, Bellman?
Calling from New York, the suburbs, right?
Okay, you have a bit of an echo there, so you might want to turn down your radio a little bit.
Yeah, I did turn it down.
Okay, maybe you're standing in a hollow room then. All right, what's on your mind?
Okay, well, I had two phone lines, and about a week ago, I picked up one of my phones, and it was totally dead, like no dial tone or anything. So
okay.
I went outside and hooked up a phone to my outside box, and there was no dial tone. So then I was online on my other line, so I went offline, and I called my other number. And I got some answering machine. And then I called again, and someone picked up, and they totally changed my line to something else.
Really?
Like someone else's house.
Well, it sounds like some...
Then I asked the people, like, is this your number?
Uh-huh.
And they said, yeah, we just moved into this house. And
yeah.
The Atlantic gave us this number.
Well, now, first of all, you definitely had your own line on that second phone.
Oh, yes. Well, I got it back, but the repair guy fixed it after a few days.
What happened was some lineman someplace at either a pole or some other junction box simply routed the wires wrong. It happens all the time, especially when people move into houses.
Yeah, and when I called Bell Atlantic, I asked them if that's a common problem, and they said that with Bell Atlantic, there is no common problem.
Okay. That's reassuring. Well, it's happened to me every time I've moved and have been cognizant of phones. I've noticed this happening. Once I moved into a house and I had a dial tone, I figured, hey, this is great. You know, the phone company's giving me phone service before I even ask for it. And I used it for a while until one day I picked up the phone and somebody else was on it. It was kind of scary because it was at night and nobody else was in the house. There was another time, though, where neither myself nor the other person had just moved. It just happened all of a sudden out of the blue. And I was, you know, one day I heard this weird message on my answering machine, you know, how some answering machines continue to record after the person picks up. And it was these people who had picked up the phone, and they were talking to each other. They had both picked up. There was the extension. They said, hey, actually, no, the guy's father had called one of his sons at their home. And the father was like, what's that on the phone? And they're like, that's the answering machine. And he says, we don't have an answering machine. Poor kid said, I know, I don't understand it either. So, yeah, it happens all the time. Okay, our caller is making weird noises, so we're going to move on to another call. Let's go over here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you're on the air. Go
okay,
ahead.
I have not called before. My name's Babu.
Babu, where are you calling from?
Manhattan. And I'm listening to you on the internet on the air.
Are you Pakistani?
No, are you?
No.
Okay.
I just figured I'd get that out of the way.
Listen, Eric, I do have a question, though. Have you, I tuned in a little late. Did you talk about the Netscape cash bug yet?
No, I have
not. Okay, can I get two sentences in on that?
Okay, well, all right,
let me do that then.
Go ahead.
There is a discovered very serious bug in essentially all of the Netscape browsers that permit anybody that sends you a JavaScript applet to read the URLs in your Netscape cache. And anybody who understands what I said and understands the seriousness of it can read about this very simply by going to Deja News and doing a search on the same line for the following two words, Brumlev, B-R-U-M-L-E-V, space, Netscape. I'll repeat that. You go to Deja News, www.dejanews.com, and where on the search line you put in Brumlev, that's B as in boy, B-R-U-M-L-E-V, space, Netscape, and the two citations, the two newsgroup readings to look at are by Dan Brumlev and Richard Smith, who's the president of Farlap. They describe this bug, and then Dan Brumlev provides a URL to his homepage, and if you go there, you just click on that link, and if you go there, he has a JavaScript that you click on.
Uh-huh.
It reads your cache, and it tells you what's in the cache of your Netscape browser. I'll get off the line. I'll listen to your comments on this. Thanks for giving me an opportunity.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling and throwing our entire listening audience into a panic. But Wicked is here, and he has something to refute. Okay, he's backing down and saying that you're entirely right. Okay. All right, then. Thanks, Wicked, for that input. Again, we won't know until we check out, but I guess other people can go to those websites and tell us just how true, how much of a threat that is. All right. 212-209-2900 is our telephone line. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Emmanuel.
Hi. How you doing?
I just wanted to tell you some things about the radio thing before I help you out with that calling thing.
What? Help me out? No, listen. You tell me something that's, like, really, really interesting.
Okay. There's a radio station on the Internet.
Yes.
Wait, it's like an Internet TV channel.
Isn't that what channel?
It's an Internet TV channel.
Are you using Sprint?
I'm using Bell Atlantic Mobile.
You sound like Sprint.
There is an echo on this line.
Wow.
It's very good service. Anyway, I'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, okay.
It's an Internet TV channel. What it does is it's a real TV studio, but it's only broadcasted on the Internet. If you have the real video player, the real
video,
player, which does the real audio and video, you can watch it and
what's
listen.
On this TV station?
It's a thing where you can, it's not regulated by anybody. You can say whatever you want. You can express however you want.
Okay, but who is the you?
It's the people who are broadcasting. There's different shows. There's music shows. There's talk shows. There's, you know, different news, not news, but like different people do different things on this program.
What is the URL?
It's sudo.com. It's PEUDO.com.
Okay.
You know
Sudo's been around for quite some time, so yes, we're aware of them.
Okay, so you know you're aware of them. Okay.
Yes. It's not always video. Most of the time it's radio, but they do have both. That's true.
But the good thing is that you can, being that it's on the Internet, you can say whatever you want and express however you want.
As opposed to the free airwaves. Yeah, I know what you mean. All right, thanks very much. That was a very interesting bit of news. Now we must go on to the next person. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel. It's Jeff from Staten Island. How you doing?
Hi. How are you tonight?
Pretty good. I guess question for you. You're always talking about Sprint, OmniPoint, Bell Atlantic. What do you think about Nextel?
You know, I've never actually used Nextel, so I'm open to... It's just I don't want to walk around with three phones, so that's why I haven't gotten their service. I'd like to know if people have used their service, if they're happy with it. You know, I have not heard very much, actually.
Okay. All right. That is my question.
All right.
Thanks, Emmanuel.
Thanks. I don't know. Not very many people seem to use it. You know, everybody I know either carries a Sprint or OmniPoint phone. I don't know anybody who carries Nextel. It's a whole other group of people. All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
How you doing?
Yes, let me lower my radio here.
Yes.
Yeah. I got this bill. I have no long distance on my phone. Okay. I live in New York.
You have no long distance service at all.
Right. And I get this bill from AT&T.
Right. Right. They charge you for not
having... No. It's not. It's for calls, actual phone.
Oh, I see.
Calls.
Okay. All right.
It's charges that were made to my phone number.
Okay. What kind of charges?
It's a third number of charges, and they were from, like, New Jersey. They were from Pennsylvania, and they were just charged to my number.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Do you have third number blocking through Bell Atlantic?
No, I don't.
Okay, you need to get that right away
because you
can be held liable for those calls if you don't get that service. It's not really a service. It's an option, and there's no reason for anybody to be able to bill numbers to you, third number billing like that.
When I tried this, AT&T, they just put the calls through. In other words, you could just bill it to anybody.
Uh-huh.
So I'm doing, and I'm telling AT&T that they said, well, did anybody in your house accept these? I said no, because it's just me and my wife. So, and then I'm going through this whole thing with AT&T, but then they said, well, somebody must have accepted them. When in reality, you know, when you place a call, you can actually bill it to somebody's number.
What kinds of numbers were the calls coming from?
They were calling from different people's residences and businesses. It was one from a hotel, I think.
Okay, here's the deal. From payphones, they require some sort of human intervention.
Yeah, from verification. But from a phone that's not a payphone, they just put it through. That doesn't make sense.
Right. You can most definitely have AT&T take all of those off. You might have to stay on the phone with them longer than you want to and yell at them and stuff like that, but they will take it off in the end. And if worst case scenario, they don't, you can have Bell Atlantic separate that portion of the bill. Since you don't have a long-distance company, that shouldn't be a big problem.
Right. The thing is that if I had known, if AT&T calls and I had known, they wouldn't have accepted them. But it's like I don't have long-distance, and there's AT&T coming on my bill. No.
Right. No, these people are taking advantage of a flaw in the system, and because you had third number, you didn't have third number blocking on, because you probably were never told about it by Bell Atlantic. It just happened to slip through. But now you can have that service put on and not have to worry about this again.
But my wife sometimes makes calls from payphones and I, you know, charge it to the house. That's the thing. I don't want the block because sometimes my wife puts calls to...
Well, why not just get a calling card then and you can do the same thing?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what maybe we should do.
Are you near an airport or something?
Am I in Brooklyn?
Are you near an airport?
I'm sorry?
What's that noise?
I live near Newark Airport.
That's what I thought. Okay. All right. That must be fun.
Oh.
Your house must shake all the time, right?
Yeah, well, not really, actually.
Yeah. That's something. That's something how humans can adjust to that. Well, thanks very much for calling, and good luck. Wow. Third number billing. Amazing. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, hi. It's Jack Ripa. You know, I sent that email in, but I don't really have time to talk about the email.
Where are you calling from?
Kansas City.
Kansas City?
Yep.
Which one?
Well, actually, I'm in a suburb in Kansas right now, but...
Okay.
I was just wondering real quick, have you ever tried to call an ANI number from your Sprint phone?
Have I ever tried to call... Actually, give me one and I'll try it right now.
Oh, one sec. Okay,
Do you have one handy?
Okay, well, yeah, 888...
Uh-huh.
324-8686. That was in the magazine a while ago.
Okay. Let's see if that works.
When I call it, I get a number that's not the phone number, which makes me think it's something, I don't know, some kind of cell site. I don't know what.
Well, it depends. What kind of service are you using?
It's Sprint PCS.
Uh-huh.
It's from the Sprint PCS phone. It gives me a strange number.
Okay. I'm getting my number, my actual Sprint PCS
phone
number. Yeah.
It's weird. I've called from other numbers, like other people's Sprint PCS phones in the area, too, and I get the same thing.
Uh-huh. Let me try the OmniPoint. What was the number again? 888 what?
888-324-8686.
8686. Okay. Let me try it on that one as well. And, you know, they're getting pretty sophisticated as far as getting the right numbers.
It's just kind of strange. I think it's because every number I've called from every PCS phone number within this city gives me the same number. I'm not sure what it is, though.
Okay, OmniPoint's not going through for some reason. Maybe I don't have a good signal.
Probably not.
Okay, it just went through. Anything else on your mind?
Not much, really. That was about it. Just wondering real quick.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. I'm not getting any audio on the OmniPoint, so we'll just have to check that some other time. Good evening. You're on the radio.
Hello.
Yeah, speak up.
Hey, how you doing? This is Anakin from Toronto.
Toronto?
Yeah, I called a couple weeks ago.
An international call.
Yeah, and Real Audio is going pretty good today.
Oh, great.
I just thought I'd call and ask if I could read an email that someone sent me that was from John Markoff.
An email from John Markoff. It's sent to you?
It's sent to someone else, someone who sent it to me.
Okay, well, it's emailed to you, so I guess it's fair game.
Okay, well, it says...
it's clean, isn't it?
Pardon me?
It's clean, isn't it?
Well, it's... fairly clean.
I mean, Markoff can have that gutter mouth sometimes. You've got to be careful of that.
Well, it's actually John Markoff talking about John Littman.
Oh, now, you're definitely going to get into the four-letter word realm there.
It's a very short one. He says...
okay, go ahead.
John Littman is a dishonest and untrustworthy person. In fact, this is typical of his style of reporting. If you chat with him again, you might ask him why he's never had the courage to call me and ask questions directly while he was writing his book. That's because Jonathan Littman was asking this particular user for emails that John Markoff had sent him about some arrest records and stuff like that. So apparently there's some tension between
those.
Well,
no, there's bad blood between the Littmans and the Markoffs that's been going on since 1995 when the whole Mitnick thing started, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the publicity around the capture started. And, of course, John Markoff helped write the book Takedown, which is turning into a film. John Littman wrote The Fugitive Game, which basically critiqued a lot of what John Markoff had done going up to the capture of Kevin Mitnick, his involvement in that. So, yeah, there has definitely been lots of back and forth between them. I'm not sure how much directly, but certainly I'm not surprised by any of those comments.
I also wanted to clarify something. In Takedown, did it say that Shimomura wrote the Satan Analyst Program?
No, I think that was always credited to Dan Farmer, wasn't it?
Right, that's what I thought. I thought I read that he had written it. I was also MLL stands MLM stands for multi-level marketing.
Oh, okay.
That's, you know, selling lists of people to other people who can sell them to other people.
All right, I got to brush up on my spam speak. I know these things.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Anti-spam, spam. It's like antimatter and matter.
Is there legislation in Canada against this kind of thing?
In Canada, I don't think we have legislation against anything.
Uh-huh.
You know.
See, I don't really think there should be legislation. I just think, you know, the internet community should take care of this itself and keep the government out of it.
Well, basically, I don't really get a lot of spam, so I don't really. It's not very important to me.
I don't get that much either, but it annoys me when I get spam that says it's not spam or spam that's like, you know, don't get spam by getting our product. And we.
Well, a guy has a good idea there. I bet he's going to get a couple $20 bills in his mailbox.
He'll have some postal inspectors knocking on his box too. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because it's illegal, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of like mail fraud. Of course, he can expect to serve, I think, what, 2 years for that?
Mm-hmm.
He won't be in jail as long as Mitnick, but it's definitely a lot sleazier than anything Kevin ever did. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the call.
All right.
And I like that you're taking a lot more calls this week than you have in previous shows. You should do that more often.
All right. Well, it basically means I have to hang up on people quicker.
Well, hang up on me now.
All right. Good good timing there. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, I love your show, and I'd like to show my support for Kevin Mitnick. Shouts out to Max Fink and Eugene out there.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, this isn't a DJ program where we give shout outs to people, but thanks for the support anyway. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. I'm kind of a new listener.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Westchester.
Westchester.
Yeah.
914 area code.
Way up here.
Yeah. So what's on your mind?
One question. Well, actually, two questions. One,
can you speak
quickly
up a little bit? You're kind of low.
I'm sorry.
That's better.
Okay. Basically, a couple of years ago, there had been a story on a local news. I think it may have been a network local program, which talked about in Central Park or Upper West Side, they were starting a program, experimental smart cards for cash.
Right.
Instead
the Upper
of all
West
these
Side.
Machines everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And they gave them to these affluent people. And they could make their purchases in these places. And they kind of like ran this. Then it disappeared. I didn't know what happened to the story. It was a couple of years. And then this summer in the Times, there was a story which talked about, now I don't know if this was connected, but I assumed it was, about the same area of the city and that people weren't using the cards. They had rejected them, mm-hmm. saying they were they already had other means of cashless payment, and this was, you know, too inconvenient for them. I was wondering if you knew anything about not only the development of, like, a smart card that would include everything, but why on earth would they do marketing on something like that when they should already know that, you know, people aren't going to go out of their way unless they're forced to, or unless there's, like, a controlled study in a highly populated area like that seemed kind of strange to me.
Well, I know they picked the Upper West Side, I think, because there's a lot of, you know, financial stuff going on up there, people spending lots of money, people using cellular phones and ATMs and things like that. I guess they figured that was a good, you know, test market for this kind of new technology. But I've heard surprisingly little about the results of it. I think it was last year. I don't think it was a couple of years ago. Last year, if they were using this, you know, you could buy anything, groceries or whatever, you know, with a little smart card. And that's basically, you know, all I heard about it.
Right, and also there was another question I have. If you know anything about this, the setting up of global positioning satellites,
uh-huh.
and whether there was a project that was under completion or has been completed, which would cover the entire planet, or whether that's, you know, that capability is already in place or not.
I think a lot of it is already in place. I know GPS technology is definitely one of the hottest things out there now, with, you know, things like old Russian satellites being used to take pictures of people's houses and, you know, whatever it is you want, GPS being installed in new cars and everybody walking around with little tracking devices.
Well, those would generally be for, like, say, areas of the world that are you know, densely populated or, like, highly technical. But if there's more remote areas of the world or areas that were not technically in demand, that kind of technology was not in demand, you know, may not be covered, is what I'm basically saying. Like, the ability to track someone everywhere on the planet is basically the question I have, you know, if that kind of technology is already in place.
Yeah. You see,
I know the goal, if it has not already been achieved, is to certainly cover the four corners of the Earth. No matter where, if you're standing on the North Pole, you'll be able to get a cellular phone call off one of the low orbit satellites, and you'll be able to
tracked if you're a fugitive, or
of course, and you have to believe that the government is very interested in being able to track everybody and know exactly where we all are at all times. The only thing is, they haven't quite gotten over the problem of how do you force people to carry these things.
I guess that was the way I'm connecting the question is basically that if you're forced to carry a card to pay everything, even when there's no cash, like you can't even use cash. Basically, if your credit card doesn't work, if your checks run out, whatever happens, you always have cash.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't have cash to fall back on, then you're really kind of relying on the card.
That's true. When the card becomes a way of life,
right,
and people don't see the threat in having it, there's no threat to my privacy here. I'm not hiding from anything, so I'll carry it. It's sort of like a LoJack type of a thing where, it's to your advantage. You fingerprint your kids because when they get kidnapped someday, of course, it's going to help them out. And it's never going to be used against them. You give your Social Security number out to Sprint, because, it's going to help me somehow.
Right.
You don't see the potential harm in such actions.
Radio Shack, for that matter.
Radio Shack. Yeah, well, they'll just lose it or type it wrong or whatever. But, it's something that's happening. It's something that is coming one way or another. And, I think we have to be really aware of these things, watch it every step of the way, because you have to understand how some people are thinking. They're thinking, we can track everybody. They've already done this with some people who have committed offenses. I think there were juvenile delinquents in New Jersey recently that this happened to, where they were being tracked by satellite, GPS. They were forced to carry these GPS devices on them, so that they would know if they crossed state lines or went someplace they weren't supposed to go. So it's already being introduced in the prisoner or juvenile offender population. That's usually the first step in how it's going to be put on the rest of
us. It seems like the marketing aspect of it was humorous to me, simply because that everything is going to be something that people want. I mean, you're never going to willingly go into like slavery, or you'll kind of like dress it up like, if you get lost in the Grand Canyon, hey, we'll find you.
Right. Well, like caller ID, for instance. I mean, who really wanted 5 years ago? And you should listen to some of our old shows, because you'll see how the attitude has changed. 5 years ago, who wanted to send their number and advertise their presence? Not very many people. But because there's all these people out there that are calling you with bad intent and harassing you and threatening you, there's this real threat that they created kind of on TV, and now people say, of course, I want to know who's calling me, and it's become an accepted practice, and you don't see the privacy issues that existed a few years ago. They've sort of been wiped away.
Hmm.
It's impossible to call somebody and surprise them anymore. They have anonymous call rejection.
Really, well, how come I can never track anyone with Star 6-9? It just never seems to work.
Probably because you live up there in the boondocks or something. I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of what kind of switch you have, but...
What if it's a call from like Connecticut? I'm in New York.
Well, it should work. Are you getting what's the recording you get when you try it?
The number can't be reached using this
method. So that means you have the service, but it's not coming in as a number of big. I'm not sure if that's coming in as unavailable or blocked. I think you get a different recording if it comes in as blocked. So they might be calling from a remote place.
It seems like, we get a lot of sales calls.
Uh-huh. Well, the salespeople know how to protect themselves against that kind of thing, because they don't want to be called back, that's for sure.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks for your comments.
Thanks for calling.
Keep listening.
We're out of time, so I want to invite everybody to listen again next week, when we'll update people on these news events. Thanks to everybody who participated in the webcast. And until next week at this time, this is Manuel Goldstein for Off the Hook. Have a good night.
Hi, this is Delphine Blue. Now that we're in our new spacious home, we can grow, flourish, and confidently advance into the 21st century. Improved equipment and better studios will allow us to create higher quality programs for you. The move, renovation, equipment, and furniture will cost the station $1 million. Our goal is to raise this amount in 3 years. Please support this historic event with a one-time gift to the Capital Campaign for the Future. For more information, call 212-209-2909.
This is Jose Santiago from the WBAI News Department. For more than 30 years, WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York has challenged convention with news, cultural, and public affairs programming unmatched by any other radio station in the country. In recent years, you, our listeners, have supported WBAI as never before. But now, as we take on the challenge of settling into our new home, we must come to you again and ask you to support our capital campaign for the future. Our studios are beautiful, but now we must fill them with the equipment and staffing needed to take our work to another level. Please send your capital gift today or call 212-209-2909 to make your capital pledge. That number again, 212-209-2909. This is Jose Santiago from the WBAI News Department. Thank